Beautiful. Well, we do honour all of the mother figures in our lives, and sometimes there's those that have played the mother role in our life that we honour today, like single dads or spiritual mums who have sometimes been more of a mother to some in this room than their very own mother, and we honour you and your investment and your time and your love. And I am mindful that today can be a real challenging day for many who have lost a precious mother, grandmother, or child. It's painful for those that are battling childlessness, infertility. And so our prayer is that you might find comfort in the Holy Spirit today, and that you would find comfort in the family of faith. And I just think this is one of the blessings of the family of faith, is that in this house together, in God's family, we get spiritual mothers and fathers and spiritual grandparents and spiritual sons and daughters, if we choose to invest into the family of God. I'd love to honour today my mothers, my mother over here, Lynn, and Elsie, and my spiritual mum, Pastor Carol. So blessed to have such loving, strong, resilient women in my life. And I'd also like to thank today my husband and my children who love me so well despite all my failures. Because, you know, us as mums, we're very aware of our failures. Sorry. Haven't even gotten 2 minutes in and I'm crying. We're very aware of our failures, aren't we, mums? I mean, I could go for a whole list right now. We'd be here to dinner time, but I know you want to go and have lunch, ladies, don't you? So I'm not going to give you the whole list of all my failures, but I will mention a few. That first time, brand new mama, and I do the daring thing of taking my baby in a pram all by myself to Westfields, Parramatta. And I'm coming down an escalator, and I get right to the end of the escalator when suddenly my pram gets stuck. It's not funny, although others probably think it's funny, but I had people like dominoes coming behind me. I was panicking. My child is in this pram. I am a failure of a parent. If it wasn't for that kind gentleman and came and heaved that pram out for me, I don't know how many dominoes would have been stacking behind me. My heart was racing. My child had no idea, thank God, of what had just happened. Sometimes it's inexperience, but we feel so bad. And, you know, I wasn't very experienced at pets, but we bought our child, her 11th birthday, a rabbit, a long-haired bunny. And she was in love with this bunny. And I thought, well, it needs to graze on grass, doesn't it? So I'll let it hang outside. There's fences all around. But I didn't realise that long-haired bunnies, they shrink down real tight and get under really little holes in fences. That poor bunny didn't last 5 days and it was gone. I felt like the worst mother ever. There was a lot of tears in our house that day. I've had so many laundry mishaps. How about temporary nappies, disposable nappies in the washing machine. Those crystals, they multiply, don't they? They get through everything. Man, the other day, honestly, I can't blame this to inexperience. I was doing the washing and there was little bits of tissue through this washing, and under my breath, I am thinking, which child left a tissue in their pocket, or which big child left a tissue in their pocket? When there was so much tissue, it suddenly occurred to me, there's a lot of tissue here. And it suddenly occurred to me that I had transported a roll of toilet paper down in my washing basket to the downstairs toilet. But I didn't put it on the toilet roll holder. Man, I've put my son's AirPods in the wash. And worse for my son, I sneakily put a frozen banana in his milkshake because he doesn't like fruit. And I thought, I'm going to get this fruit into him somehow, only to have him vomit and find out later he's actually anaphylactic to banana. Who'd have known? Banana! Oh, my goodness. Sometimes we think there's some perfect families. You know, the Instagram post looks so curated and beautiful, but there is no perfect family. No. In fact, in our society, our culture, we are facing so many things in family, from financial strain to conflict. Domestic violence is huge, especially in our area. We have separation and divorce, blended families, step-parenting, custody issues. We have in-laws and outlaws. We have, you know, to navigate feeling rejection, estrangement, favoritism, rivalry, childlessness, adoption, grief and loss, navigating sickness and mental illness, disabilities, dependencies and addictions. We navigate aging and frailty, transitioning children to teens and then teens to adulthood. And then you have those adult children and it just doesn't stop, does it? It just doesn't stop. You know, there's so many cultural expectations. And in this changing political climate, this anti-Christian woke agenda, man, it's difficult for families. We've got the first generation among us to navigate atrocities and evil in real time seen on social media. And that breeds so much anxieties. And our families are full of anxiety. A.W. Tozier said, "A frightened world needs a fearless church. A church that is not conformed to this world, but a church that is transformed by the renewing of their mind." There is a generation that are navigating this woke, wacky world with increasing fear of being cancelled and persecuted. Generation Z and Alpha need us, the family of God, to instill in them faith for their future. Us, imperfect parents and aunties and uncles and grandparents and disciple makers, we need to make sure that this next generation are strong, resilient world changers. And they will be a generation who will be a contrast to this world. They'll be a light in darkness, joy in sadness, love in madness, and good in the badness. Did you like that? It was from that was actually from the modern day poet J.S. Haynes. This generation need hope, and they are going to be the hope for humanity. We must take responsibility to influence and lead others in our homes, in our workplaces, in our unis, in our school, and in our church. Amen? May we invest our love and time and train them not just to survive, but to thrive and to make a difference. And I want us today to look at a biblical example in Exodus chapter 1 and chapter 2. Her name is Jochebed. Well, we pronounce it in the Hebrew, Jochebed. It's a pretty cool name. Anybody looking for their next daughter's name? Jochebed. Tag that one away in the notes. Now, she would say she's just a mum, but she was just a mum who lived in Egypt as a Hebrew immigrant in one of the darkest hours in Israelites' history. The Egyptian culture dominated, controlled, censored, and enslaved her people. She watched her family working very hard, 7 days a week, making bricks for the building of pyramids and watching them being mistreated by the Egyptians. Jochebed was the daughter of Levi, and he was the head of the Levites who managed the temple of God. She was also the granddaughter of Jacob and the great-granddaughter of Abraham, the father of our faith. So she grew up hearing of God's promises, the promises that he gave to her great-grandfather Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. She heard of the promise of land, a promised land, and of multiplication, that they would multiply like the sand on the seashore and like the stars in the sky, and the promise that they would be blessed as a people. Now, they weren't in the promised land. And they weren't looking so blessed at the moment, but boy, were they multiplying, and she was helping with that. So Pharaoh issued an edict in all Hebrew parents had to terminate their babies. Actually, he said to the midwives, kill male babies as a form of population control. But they wouldn't, and they couldn't. They wouldn't take a life because God's law said, do not murder. So they weren't doing it, so what did Pharaoh do? He issued a second edict. He said, okay then, all the Hebrew parents need to eliminate their own children, their own male babies, by throwing them into the Nile River, a river infested with crocodiles. So let's have a look, Exodus chapter 1. Pharaoh gave this order to all his people. He said, every Hebrew boy that is born, you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live. Now, Jochebed would have been very overwhelmed when she became pregnant because she had no idea within her womb, was it a girl? Was it a boy? What would happen? We read in chapter 2, the woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She saw that he was a special baby. Don't we all think our kids are special? And so she kept him hidden for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a basket made of papyrus reeds and waterproofed it with tar and pitch. She put the baby in the basket and laid it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile River. The baby's sister stood at a distance and watching to see what would happen to him. I love that. Jochebed saw something special on her child. She saw the potential. She loved this child and she believed God had a plan and a purpose for her baby, that he would make a difference for God in his generation. And we, may we love this next generation. May we see the potential and the purpose God has on their lives. May we see the gifts and the potential and the possibilities, not just the differences, how different they are from us. We must believe in them. We must see the best. We must be their greatest cheer squad, not their greatest critics. Jochebed, she loved her child, saw the special on him, but she also had a great conviction. And we actually read in the New Testament that it was really noted. Hebrews chapter 11, the writer says, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. They weren't afraid of the king's edict. Unafraid. They had conviction, so they hid him. She hid him close to her. She would feed him and nurture him and pray over him while she fed him. And I just think, when I think of her, I think, man, may we be people of conviction like that, that don't worry about the king's edict. We're people of conviction, not convenience. People that will be strong and people that will realize we've got a limited time. She had 3 months to hide him, a narrow window. May we realize we have a narrow window of influence, of opportunity to invest into the next generation, to nurture them, to feed them, to speak the word of God over them and to pray for them, to prepare them. Now, Jochebed, she was resourceful. I love this about her. She was resourceful. How wise and creative to make her own waterproof, insulated basket. Where there's a will, there's a way. Her vision was, I'm going to protect my baby. May we be wise and creative and resourceful parents and leaders with a vision to protect this next generation. Making an environment that the next generation will feel safe and secure and set up to protect them from the enemy's devices. Then Jochebed, she positioned him. She laid the baby in the safest area of the reeds where the women would come to bathe and to do their washing. And so she positioned him there. May we also, may we position the next generation well. May we position them and set those entrusted to us up for success. Let us put them in the right environment, in the presence of God and the right people of God around them. You know, before I even had children, I made a decision. When I have children, I'm going to make sure they're in the house of God. When I have children, I'm going to make sure they're in kids' church. And when they're in kids' church, I'm going to make sure they get involved in that music team. Why? Because I had watched for many, many years. As Joe Peacock led that team, I could see the community that they had together, the faith community. I could see that they discovered their gifts and their talents, and they got significance by serving God at a young age. And I thought, I'm going to position my children in there. You know, the firstborn, she didn't want to play an instrument. She didn't want to be up front singing. So she got involved in the tech, and now she's amazing at tech. She's brilliant. She could do any of this tech in this house. I want to encourage you, parents, as a youth pastor for many years, it would astound me sometimes that parents, because their children would love youth so much, that sometimes they would use it as a punishment to not let their child go when their child was naughty. And I just want to encourage you, parents, if your child is acting up, they're teenagers, they're going to be rebellious, they're not going to be perfect, no teenager is. Don't punish them with taking them away from the house of God. They need to get around the people of God, leaders who will help form and forge their character. When they don't listen to you, may they listen to them. Keep them in the house of God. Take away something else. Feed them bread for a week. Isn't that what you did for one of yours? I'm just joking. that wasn't in my note, sorry. And then, man, Jochebed released him. She released him. She did hard. She did hard. The hardest, most challenging, most heart-wrenching grief to let go. Trust in God that he will not die and that he is in God's hands. We must release this next generation to God. We must trust him that he is going to position them well. And it's not easy letting go. It can be really challenging not to have control. It can be grief of letting go. And it's kind of like as soon as they're born, you're practicing letting go. You've got them on your hip for a while, but every year you're letting go, you're letting go, you're letting go even more and more. And it's about trusting God to let go. Let's go to verse 5 and see what happens. So soon Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe in the river, and her attendants walked along the riverbank. When the princess saw the basket among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it for her. When the princess opened it, she saw the baby. The little boy was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This must be one of the Hebrew children," she said. Then the baby's sister approached the princess. "Excuse me, should I go and find one of the Hebrew women to nurse your baby for you?" she asked. "Well, what a great idea. Yes, thank you, do that," the princess replied. So the girl went and called who? The baby's mother. I love it. Oh, Jochebed had trained up Miriam well. She trained up that little girl to watch, to care, to take responsibility, to have initiative, to lead. And may we also have that ability to train up the next generation, to really genuinely care, to take initiative, to be bold, to take responsibility and to lead. Verse 9, "Take this baby," she says, "and nurse him for me." The princess told the baby's mother, "and I will pay you for your help." Wow, mum's in the parents' room this morning. Would you like to be paid to breastfeed your child? Hands up in there. So the woman took her home and nursed him. Praise the Lord. Later, when the boy was older, his mother brought him back to Pharaoh's daughter, who adopted him as her own son. The princess named him Moses, for she explained, "I lifted him out of the water." Now, Hebrew women, they would breastfeed for at least 2 to 3 years, if not more, often more. And during this time, Jochebed would have treasured this time, and she would speak and tell him the stories of God. She would tell him about the generations and what God had promised to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. She would have told him the story of Joseph, who was positioned in the palace for a purpose. She would have told of his bravery and how he overcame. She was preparing him for the palace, knowing that one day her son would be raised there. She would have to take him back and release him. Now, the palace wasn't going to be a cushy place. In fact, it was a place of great temptation, immorality, and the occult. And she had to release her son to that. Now, I want us to note that there would have been no other household in all of Egypt that her son would have been safe in. The only place was the place that she got to, that God made happen by positioning him with that princess. Only God could have done that. Jochebed couldn't have organized that. She couldn't have controlled that, but God. And it's really important to note that Jochebed, she wasn't a superhero. She was an ordinary mum who had the fortitude to protect, to prepare, and to pray for her son. Now, Jochebed's name, Jochebed in the Hebrew, actually was the first name to have the first part of God's name, in a person's name, Yahweh. So Jochebed, she's got God's name in it. And what does her name mean? It means Yah is impressive. Yahweh is impressive. God is impressive. Or God gets the glory. Yahweh is glory. And it's so fitting, isn't it? Because it was Yahweh who used Jochebed's prayers and faith and fortitude to not only save a child, but to prepare and position him to make a difference to God's kingdom. It was God who gave her the idea, the creativity, and the courage to carry out the plan. It was God who took him to the exact right place. It was God who put him in the right hands. And it was God who put within him this sense of right and wrong, this sense of justice. It was God. And I think it's really important that we don't gloss over this story and make it all sound so beautiful, because I love that God in the scriptures, he shows us the raw reality. He shows us the bad side and the dark side. Because with Moses, he had this sense of right and wrong and justice, but he was watching as his people, the Hebrews, were being mistreated by the Egyptians, and there was this anger within him, and he made a wrong decision, and he killed the Egyptian he saw that was terrorizing the Hebrews. He made a big mistake. That's pretty big, isn't it? My kids, they stuff up sometimes, but nobody's killed somebody. Moses wasn't perfect. Moses wasn't perfect, but God redeemed him and God chose him. Though he was imperfect and unpolished, though he stammered and though he was not confident, God used him to deliver his people from captivity. God used him and did amazing miracles through him to make Pharaoh finally set his people free. Moses led Israel out of Egypt. He set them free from oppression. How can we apply this to us? When the next generation make mistakes, not if. When the next generation make mistakes and go through difficulties and make bad decisions, God can redeem them. God can encounter them in a moment at a burning bush. God can get their attention and speak to them. And I am hopeful. I'm hopeful for this next generation. They are full of a heart for justice and for truth. And I believe they could be a Moses generation who will take those who are captive by all of the things of this world, and they would be able to lead them and do extraordinary exploits for God, that they will be able to deliver from oppression, from chains that hold people captive. I'm going to ask the team to start to come. You know, as I have studied Jochebed, I really like her. I've learned a lot from her, but I wonder about her. I wonder, did she live long enough to see her son leave the palace? I wonder, did she see or hear about him murdering an Egyptian? Did she blame herself? Did she think, I could have done something better? Did she feel like a failure? You know, Moses went out and left Egypt, and he lived in the wilderness for about 40 years where he was a shepherd and he started a family. That's a long time. So you know what? I don't think Jochebed would have known that one day her son would have had an encounter with God. I don't think she ever really found out that her son, the little baby that she entrusted to God and positioned and released, not only got saved from death, but also got to save a multitude from death and oppression. I don't think she would have seen the day when her three children were reunited and served God together. I don't think she saw the day when Aaron became a priest and Miriam a prophetess and Moses a great leader and prophet. I don't think she saw that day. But you know, her name means Yahweh is impressive. Not her. It's not Belinda is impressive. Belinda's this great mom. Oh, what a great mom raising those children. It's not about Belinda is impressive. It is God is impressive. It's God is impressive. It's God. You know, Jochebed's story offers us hope and faith and truth. Because you might feel like you've failed as a parent, as a leader, as a disciple maker at times, and you haven't seen the results of your preparation and your prayers. But may we be encouraged today that God is at work, that He isn't finished, and His plans will prevail. We won't always see the end of the story, but it's not about us. It's not about us. I love as well that this story of Moses is actually part of a greater story, because there is a God in heaven who so loved you that He sent a baby to this earth, a vulnerable, humble baby. He let go and sent a baby. And that baby was sent into a sinful, evil world. That baby lived a sinless life, did extraordinary miracles. And that baby delivered us from our slavery to sin. Jesus. You know, Jesus, it looked like His death was devastating. It looked like His death was a failure. The world went dark. The disciples were devastated. The demons were celebrating. But on the third day, everything changed. Everything changed. I tell you, Yahweh is impressive. God is impressive. Will you stand with me? We're going to pray. I want to pray for you. Would you close your eyes, raise your hands? You might need an injection of faith. Lord, I want to pray right now. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. I want to minister right now, Lord, to all those in this room that have felt failure, that you've felt that failure and you've punished yourself and you've taken it upon yourself, that it's all on you. It's been heavy. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would lift off that heaviness of that sense of failure right now. And we acknowledge, Lord God, it's not about us, but Lord, everything is in your hands. Lord, you are not a failure. And Lord, the story is not over yet, Lord God. We trust in you. We believe in you, Lord. Lord, I pray for an injection of faith right now. Lord, may we trust you with this next generation. Lord, may we trust you, Lord, to show us creative ideas. Lord God, how we can set them up, how we can prepare them, how we can speak your word over them, how we can encourage them, and Lord, how we can empower them to be all that they can be for you, Lord. Lord, we lift them up to you. Lord, we believe in them. And Lord God, we thank you for opportunities to influence the next generation, Lord. Lord, in the church, in our workplaces, in families, Lord, nephews and nieces and neighbors, Lord, I pray that we would have a sense of responsibility. Lord, that you would use us, Lord, to impact this next generation. Lord, we know they face so much. So, Lord, we will pray for them. We will fight for them. Lord, we will believe in faith and trust that they're going to be a Moses generation, Lord, to deliver a multitude from their chains. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.